Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
Seth Habagger.
Good morning.
We got fun things lined up for you this hour. Got some That Ain't Right stories in there. Got some good local stories of the day. We're going to get to some entertainment news, including some local entertainment news we are looking forward to. But speaking of great local entertainment, it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You all know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. Today we're going to talk about the third largest plant-based food source in the world.
Pie!
What? No, not even close, Seth. Corn. We're talking about corn.
No, it's my birthday week and I want to talk about pie.
We already did a segment on pie. Remember, the exact date was June 26th and you lorded it over us since you're the chair of the North American Pie, yada, 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 whatever.
Yes, well, it's not very often I get to use my full title in the interest of time. You can just call me Act Cop Motown PC Toff for short.
Wait. Call you what?
It's an anagram of my title. I thought it might be a little easier to remember than the chair of the North American, pan of the Midwest, crust of the Central Wisconsin, filling of the Pie Council.
An anagram?
Yes. Where you take the first letters of each word and rearrange them into a phrase. It's very simple, really.
Oh, I get it. So another option would be Compact Cotton Cow FTP.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or Cat FCC Motown PC Pato or Poto.
or how about Act FCC Mutt Pooptown?
Now you're just being silly and looking for an excuse to say poop. What are you, five?
And now we have wandered afar off of topic. We should really start by thanking our sponsor. Probably should have
done
that.
Yes, yes. You're right, James. We want to thank the Southwood County YMCA for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment. We would be remiss if we didn't remind you that the Nutrition 101 series called Mindful Eating is taking place in 1 week on Monday, August 21st. Wow, I don't know why I blanked on the date. Monday, August 21st from 5:30 to 6:30.
Yes, you can sign up for the class taking place next Monday by calling their main branch phone number at 715-818-9622. That's 818-9622. Tiana Hamm is an instructor, and I hear she is phenomenal. In fact, I can tell you she is because she's been in the studio with me a number of times and done a great job.
But you do need to pre-register, so there's enough food for everyone. The cost is just $5 for members and $10 for non-members. We'll give you the number again at the end of the segment.
Okay, back to our important topic of corn. Before Seth, oh, sorry, Motown PC Toft so rudely interrupted me, I was telling you that corn is the world's third largest plant-based food source. It's in the world. So we're going to talk about all things corn, and before the end of the segment, we're even going to cover corn smut.
Oh, Melissa! Oh. This is a family show!
Oh, chill out, Seth. Corn smut is something you eat.
Really? Oh. I don't think so.
Oh. Well, you'll just have to stick around and find out, my poop town.
Hey, you will refer to me as the...
Will you two behave? I can't believe I am the mature one here. Seriously, think about that for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's focus, people.
That is a little unusual, but thank you, James. I'm glad somebody appreciates the importance of this segment. Now, back to the topic at hand, corn. Many millennia ago, corn, or maize, was domesticated by first peoples in southern Mexico.
About 10,000 years ago, if you want to be a little more accurate.
Hey, did you know that corn is believed to have been derived from a wild grass called teosinte?
Yeah. Britannica.com describes modern corn as a tall annual grass with a stout, erect, solid stem.
Oh, corn is a grass. How about that?
And ancient corn is described as a spiky grass with small cobs. The archaeological records show that they were less than an inch long.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting, since according to the University of Utah, the genetic difference between ancient and modern corn is only about 5 genes.
Even more interesting is the fact that because there was so little variation, it suggests that modern varieties of corn are descended from a single ancestor. Small changes, such as ancient farmers choosing to plant kernels from maize plants that tasted better or were easier to grind caused dramatic effects in the evolution of maize. Mm. These processes were known as selective breeding or artificial selection. Mm.
It shows that evolution doesn't always involve gradual change over time. Small changes can have dramatic effects. Maize appears abruptly in the archaeological record.
Now, since then, humans have made many changes to the genes in corn to affect the ability of corn to grow in different climates and soil types, to the length and number of kernel rows, and most importantly, to be resistant to pests.
In fact, most of the corn grown in the United States is genetically modified to be resistant to pests, or even to produce proteins that kill specific insects. They've been engineered for greater drought tolerance and to increase their nutritional value. But there is at least 19 countries that choose not to grow GMO crops, and in some places it's banned. But that's a whole other topic for a different segment.
Yes, I don't think we have time to delve into CRISPR technology versus GMOs, or theorize on whether changes we are experiencing in the climate will impact or threaten the world's food supply. Let's just suffice it to say the U.S. National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine say GMO crops and products made from them are safe.
Well, that's good, because I'm reading here on Living History Farms that corn is an ingredient in more than 4,000 everyday grocery items.
Mm-hmm. Corn is used in so many products. It's one of the most versatile, affordable, and widely available grains in the world. So while you would not be surprised that things like corn chips, cereals, candy, and margarine contain corn, you might be a little surprised to learn that things like hand soap, batteries, shampoo, and makeup also contain corn.
Don't get me started on corn syrup.
We won't, but I do feel the need to mention that a single bushel of corn can sweeten about 400 cans of soda.
Ooh.
And then there's ethanol, which is a biofuel produced from corn. But we also don't want to get into the food versus fuel debate.
Nope, because I'll win.
Wait, well, you don't even know what side I would take.
Doesn't matter. I'll still win. It's my birthday week, remember?
How could I forget? Jeez.
Hey, did you know that the kernels of corn planted per acre more than double the from 1900 to 2000? And the time it took to plant, cultivate, and harvest 1 acre of corn dropped from 38 hours in 1900 to only about an hour by 2000.
Wow.
And if you two don't cut it out, I'll keep throwing corn facts faster than you than popcorn pops.
I have yet to hear you give facts in hundredths of a second.
Oh, but it could be fun to hear him try.
I don't know. Would it, though?
Okay, fine. Truce. Since you brought up popcorn, let's talk about the six main types of corn variants grown in the U.S.
All right. The six major types are dent corn, flint corn, flower corn, pod corn, popcorn, and sweet corn. The most commonly grown and used is dent corn, otherwise known as field corn.
I'm guessing the other two most popular are sweet corn and popcorn, right?
Yes, and those are the two I like to eat the most.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Seth. Corn has gotten a bad rap in recent years because it's in everything and we eat a lot of it. But what we don't eat a lot of is corn in its natural form, and that's when it's the healthiest for us.
So corn is a pretty starchy vegetable, if I'm not mistaken, though, right?
True, but unless you're watching your carbs, there's a lot of health benefits you can get from eating fresh or frozen corn. Mm. It has two antioxidants that are extremely important for eye health. These are lutein and zeaxanthin.
Correct. Having these two antioxidants as part of a healthy diet can help reduce the risk of macular degeneration.
Huh. Corn also has a good amount of plant protein. Not as much as beans or peas, but enough worth mentioning at 3.5 grams per cup.
And don't forget the fiber at 2 grams and the variety of vitamins and minerals that include potassium, magnesium, B vitamins, and vitamins A and C.
Isn't it time to get to the fun part, the recipes?
Absolutely. My favorite way to eat corn is straight off the cob. Sometimes I don't even cook it if it's sweet enough.
Ooh.
And fun fact, I learned when researching this, it's actually good to put a little butter on your corn.
Really?
Yeah, the fat helps your body absorb those two antioxidants that are good for your eyes, lutein and zeaxanthin.
Ha-ha! Vindication! Corn can be roasted, boiled, broiled, steamed, or even microwaved. But it's great on the grill this time of year.
Corn salsa or cowboy caviar are a great use of fresh corn. They are very versatile recipes that can mix and match to your liking. They use ingredients like black beans or black-eyed peas or corn, obviously, red onion and red bell pepper, cherry tomatoes, jalapeno, avocado, lime juice, all kinds of. Serve it with corn chips, and you'll be a hit hit at every party. I have not personally made this, but Mel thinks I should try it and add Italian salsa salad dressing.
Corn is also great added into soups, but that's more of a fall thing. This is grilling season, and corn is excellent broken into smaller sections of cobs and added to kebabs. Have I mentioned I like grilled corn?
Who doesn't, really? But have you tried corn smut?
Come on, Melissa. I thought we moved past that.
And we've circled back.
I actually know what that is, and I want nothing to do with it.
Smart man.
I saw this as a kid in the field next to my house. I thought it looked disgusting. I never imagined it's actually considered a delicacy in Mexico and elsewhere.
Okay, fine. What is corn smut?
It's a disease that infects corn plants. It's caused by a fungus that forms galls of or growths in between the kernels of corn and stops them from developing.
That's a fairly benign description, James. The fungus causes the corn kernels to swell up into what look like giant gray tumors sprouting out of the top of the corn. They can even have blue-black spores that make the corn look burnt or scorched.
That sounds gross.
I agree. But after researching it, I actually really want to try some. It's called huitlahuche in Mexico, and it's highly esteemed as a delicacy. In fact, corn infected with a fungus sell for a significantly higher price than uninfected corn. Hmm. They use it as fillings in tacos, quesadillas, and soups. The flavor is described as mushroom-like, sweet, savory, woody, and earthy, insanely delicious and luxurious, like black truffles.
Really? I'm intrigued.
The ancient Aztecs viewed a bout of infection as a symbol of bounty, higher profits, and a successful harvesting season.
Hmm.
Now, in the U.S., huitlahuche-infected crops are often destroyed. Farmers refer to it as devil corn because even if it's destroyed, the fungus can overwinter in the soil and come back the following year.
Hmm. It's interesting to note that when a corn smut grows on a cob of corn, it changes the nutritional value. After it's infected, the fungus grows actually contains more protein than the corn by itself and the amino acid lysine.
Oh, all right. You've convinced me. I would try it. Really, all you would have to say is it's a mushroom. I love mushrooms.
One more fun fact. There's a lot of debate around where the name huitlahuche comes from. Some sources say it's derived from the Nahuatl word for rear end or sleeping excrement, or the best, raven's excrement.
Hold on. Was all this just an excuse for you to use the word poop on the radio again? You really are five, aren't you? Do you hear what I have to put up with here, listeners?
I think it's time to close the kitchen.
Yep. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. We want to thank our sponsor, the Southwood County YMCA.
Don't forget to sign up for Nutrition 101 series called Mindful Eating, taking place next week on Monday, August 21st from 5 to 6:30. You can sign up by calling 715-818-9622 or by visiting their website, swcymca.org. That's swcymca.org.
And coming up this weekend, they also have their 5K bridge-to-bridge race on Saturday, August 19th. Contact Matt Zakowski to register at 715-818-6012.
I noticed you didn't give me any more lines to talk about today.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, that was a good one. That was good. That was a lot of fun. Well done, Melissa. Very, very well done, as always.
Thanks for playing along, guys.
You're the best. And a big shout out to the Y, too. We appreciate our Southwood County YMCA. We'll have another episode of The Kitchen's Open for you next Monday right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. I was wondering when this one was coming up. That you say whatever you want. Melissa and I were doing sing-along songs last week.
On Friday.
Yeah, on Friday.
And this is one you belt out in the car.
It is. You better believe it.
Now, you look around first, though, don't you? anybody looking?
Roll the windows up.
Used to be a you start out real slow. You start, and you start out real slow. But as soon as that refrain kicks in, boom, 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 baby! It is belting it out and everything. Don't even lie that you know
it. No, it's true.
You know it.
Side note, the Batman Forever soundtrack was awesome.
It really
was. The movie was terrible, but the soundtrack was awesome.
It was really impressive. Yeah. Actually, it was one of the better ones. Mm. More on that coming up on one of our shows soon.
Yeah.
Mm.
Speaking of shows, I we're going to get into entertainment stuff right now. We don't have a whole lot here. I actually wanted to focus mostly on local stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's two big stories I want to touch on. First off, I have to start a show with an apology.
Mm.
I'm a little humbled by this, but I have gone on the air a number of times and mentioned that Benedict Cumberbatch is, I think the greatest actor in the world right now.
Okay.
I would like to apologize to Meryl Streep. I watched the first episode of the most recent season of Only Murders in the Building, which she is guest starring on. This isn't a spoiler alert. I don't think I'm giving too much away. She is a predominant character in this season, so you're going to see a lot of her. And she kind of kicks off the season. Her scene is in about 5 minutes before the intro credits.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, you see why she's the greatest actor of all time. Maybe not of all time, but currently, and certainly of our generation, she's the best. Like, hands down.
Wow.
Nothing against Benedict Cumberbatch or any Michael Fassbender or a lot of the great actors out there, the James McAvoys and these kind of actors. But for my money, as somebody who has studied this since I was 7 years old, I don't know I've seen a better actor. I'm talking Cary Grant, I'm talking Sidney Poitier, Robin Williams, all my favorites, people that I would personally put on my influence list higher. But she's on stage, she's talking as her, and then she starts talking as a character she's playing.
Right.
And in that transition, you will see why Meryl Streep is the greatest to ever do it, possibly. It's certainly the greatest right now. So I'm sorry, Meryl. I apologize, Ms. Streep. I apologize. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Well, maybe what your little slip there at the beginning of all time, I think she's got to be in the conversation of greatest of all time. I mean, it's not really something you can quantify. It's an argument. You know, it's one of those things.
Argument.
Yeah, exactly. But she's got to be in there. She's got to be in that discussion.
Yeah. If you have not caught that series, it's one of the few I will recommend. God, it's good. It's really good. It's really good. I actually wanted to find a light way to get into a heavier topic, and that was kind of my way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, Harry Styles became the first man on the cover of Vogue magazine, and he did it in a gender-neutral attire. But was it a show of support for the LGBTQ community or appropriation?
Mm.
Billy Porter has thoughts. He says, quote, "Styles is white and straight. That's why he's on the cover. Non-binary, blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't feel good to me. You're using my community, or your people are using my community to elevate you. You haven't had to sacrifice everything." Even though it sounds a little bit like he is trashing Harry, Billy is more upset at the gatekeepers like Vogue editor Anne Wintour, whom he calls some choice names.
Okay.
Still, he says, quote, "He's just doing it because it's the thing to do. This is politics for policies and politics for me. This is my life. Mm-hmm. I had to fight my entire life to get to the place where I could wear a dress to the Oscars and not be gunned down. All he has to do is be white and straight."
Interesting.
Let's get out of the way real quick. This is uncomfortable. Let's also get out of the way that I believe, without pressing or anything, I'm just speaking for myself, I am a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a lot of leg to stand on in this. I'm going to pretend like I know what either of these gentlemen go through or talking about. So I'm making very clear about that. But I know a little bit about appropriation. I know a little bit about people using religion or creeds or different things because it's hip at the time or it's popular at the time. I saw this a lot with – is Madonna still in Kabbalah?
I have no idea.
Is Madonna still a Jew? Is she still – half the time – it reminds me of the great Jerry Seinfeld written sketch. It was actually started out as a comedic sketch and turned into a Seinfeld bit. Where Bryan Cranston actually plays a dentist who becomes Jewish, and Jerry suspects that he becomes Jewish just because he can tell Jewish jokes. It's hilarious and
right,
it's very
yeah.
well written. But this is a genuine thing that Jews have dealt with throughout history. Not that people become Jewish because they think they can tell Jew jokes, but because they think that Jews have some connection in the industry that, well, if you're Jewish, you're going to have. Spoiler alert, nope. That ain't the case, everybody. You can go ahead and turn whatever you want. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get into the industry.
Right.
But if you have a star and you're looking for that star to shine, we have seen, you know, appropriation happen plenty of times. When you know, and I think it's an interesting place to be in society. I will say, and I've talked to, because I wanted to make sure that talking about this, I had at least a little bit to go on here. Talking to some people that, like last night, from this community and under the umbrella, the rainbow umbrella, as they put it, they will say there's actually even a little bit of silver lining in this. That Billy Porter and Harry Styles or whatever having this argument in society, that they're able to have this in open society now.
Right. The conversation.
That's how sad. But then they say that, and to me, that came across really sad. Like, damn. Like, that's a win for y'all? Like, that we can argue in public? That's how low the bar is. That we've been waiting this long, that people in that community have been waiting this long to be able to do that. Like, again, I am what I am. I've never been able to hide who I am. I've never been able I can't pretend to know what it's like that I have to own this in a sense that I have to come forward with it in society. You know, that it's that the onus is on me. I don't have to, I can't imagine what that pressure is like, what that feeling is like. That's a lot to handle. Life is challenging and dramatic enough, let alone have this on your plate and to deal with and everything. Now, what Billy Porter is saying, I think, is incredibly important. It's also really, really tough to get into another person's head or heart. And I get very uncomfortable with the idea of saying, well, Harry's this, Harry's that. I don't know Harry Styles. I don't know his choices. I don't know what's in his head or his heart. Mm-hmm. So I kind of stand closer to Billy on this conversation. I would not feel comfortable completely bashing Harry Styles or something like that because I don't know what's in the man's heart.
Right. Well, I'm going to take this at a longer view, going back to my sociological roots here, because if you look at culture in terms of appropriation, so there's always been a note of that where it's fads, you know, it's not something that necessarily stays around, but it comes in waves. It goes up and down. So think about I'm giving a title of a written document by Norman Mailer back in the 1950s. It was called The White Negro. That's what it was called.
Yep.
And it was about white people appropriating black culture. And that's what it was about. And
it's a very well-written article and still very timely.
Yes, it is. And as a matter of fact, surprisingly up to date.
Yeah.
But think about that. Think about the association of disco music with homosexual clubs.
Yep.
Think about how minority groups, how their culture has been appropriated by the majority. Now, one of the reasons why that is, especially for quote-unquote hip people of the majority of the white, straight, whatever you want to call it, is because there's a transgressive quality to it. I'm doing something dangerous. Mm-hmm. I'm doing something different. Mm-hmm. I'm doing something not within the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have seen this decades upon decade upon decade in this country and it's all over the world. So I don't know what Harry, like you said, James, I don't know what Harry Styles is thinking. I think people said, hey, you know what? This is going to be cool. People are going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. If you wear this, I don't know if he's saying like, whoa, you know, like I'm going to be like trans people, blah, 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 whatever. I don't think it had to do with that. But I think there is, and I think to Billy's point, there is an element of that to it because it can be degrading for that group.
Yes.
So, I mean, you have to take that into consideration. And like I said, it's happened constantly, you know, throughout our culture. So. Mm.
Well, and if you look at the full article, because that's what I'm doing right now, he wears a lot of clothes throughout this photo shoot that he does. One of them is a Scottish kilt. Mm-hmm. Harry's not Scottish.
No. True, that's true.
He's English. So, you know, right. I mean, if you want to... And there's another one here. He's wearing what looks like to be a suit, but the bottom is a skirt with another skirt over top of it. It's interesting. It's not something that you would wear anywhere but the red carpet. And he's in the hillsides of England.
Okay.
With the ocean behind him.
Right.
So
maybe he's just worried about offending literally anybody. He's just covering every single base.
Covering every base, right?
You're gonna see him next, like with a Red Sox and a Yankees hat. Like he's gonna try. So he doesn't want it. Just in case. I don't know.
It sounds like his mom played dress up with him and his sister a lot when they were kids. So you know, maybe this is coming from a place of we like to do this when we were young.
Yeah.
I can do it now. Right. Somebody else is paying for the clothes. Why not?
So, and to be fair to Harry Styles, yeah, I mean, but I think it sounded like Billy's beef was more with the editors of the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was where he had the problem, yeah.
And I would love to really dive into that because he's right about that. That part I have no problem mentioning. The gatekeepers, as he calls them, have been doing this not just to, obviously, that community, but to women forever. How many kids grew up, how many young women grew up thinking that they had to look like Cindy Crawford on the cover of Vogue or something like that,
right.
When that was literally never going to happen because they're airbrushing these people. And you can't, the human body can't do that.
Yep.
You have to have hip bones. Exactly. Things like that. Couple of quick hits here to wrap up our entertainment, and they are both local. For those that care, thank you very much for subscribing and caring about What the Muppet. It's a Muppet Monday, everybody.
Muppets.
Wherever you get your podcasts, encourage you to check out What the Muppet is a podcast of Bria and I do together and have a lot of fun with. The third episode dropped today. Cue laugh track. This is the one I feel like that you could tell that we really started getting a feel of, or I should say, this is the one you could tell where I started getting a feel for this. The first two episodes, I don't know why. I know there's a camera on me, but I'm not paying attention to it at all because I'm so used to in radio just focusing on the microphone.
Exactly.
And honestly, if I'm being real with you guys, I didn't know she was going to record it, or I forgot she was going to video record it up until the moment she started doing it.
Nice.
The third episode is a lot of fun, and we just filmed a couple more last Friday and everything. She's doing such an amazing job with this.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking for somebody, like marketing-wise, or somebody that can really sell you, this girl, she knows. Bree knows how to do it, man.
Nice.
Again, and you can also catch out the YouTube page, What the Muppet. Encourage you to do that. Just go to @WhatTheMuppetPod, and it should pop right up for you.
Very cool.
Already got 14 subscribers. Huh?
Double digits. Double digits, man.
Yep. And I just typed it into Spotify, and it was the first thing that popped up.
Oh, you know, thank you, Melissa. I got a real kick this weekend. I'm sure I have, and I just don't remember. But I don't remember ever, like, Googling myself. But I thought for the heck of it, like, I'll throw in What the Muppet, see what happens here and everything. I wanted to see if there were other Muppet podcasts and that kind of thing. First thing to pop up.
All right.
First thing to pop up on Google search. I thought that was pretty cool. And all goes credit to her. Nothing to me. Goes all the credit to Bria. Great work, Bri. Again, What the Muppet, episode 3 dropped. And, of course, great auditions going on today for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. They have their first show of the main stage season, Blythe Spirit, kicking off the 23-24 season. The auditions are today and tomorrow. Encourage you to go head on down to the WRCT Theater to audition. Now, you can find out more information. You can download the script, download the audition form at wrctheater.org. You could do it right there as well.
Yeah.
You could do it right there. This is being directed by Linda Garski. I personally, my favorite director in this area. I love working with Linda. You're gonna learn, you're gonna have fun, and you're gonna enjoy working with Linda Garski.
Yes, indeed.
I promise you that right now. I don't know Linda's outline for this. I don't know how it's all gonna go, but I can guarantee you are gonna have a good time. Go ahead and get down there and audition, everybody.
Yeah.
You can find out more and get season tickets at wrctheater.org. And I think that it's fair to say, is it public knowledge? Yeah, it's public knowledge now.
Oh, yeah.
We can congratulate her. Let's congratulate Gretchen. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Gretchen Powers.
Yep. Gretchen Powers, for those that have not heard, Tim Young is going to be moving. And we wish Tim and his family well, moving back to his stomping grounds, and he deserves that, and he's going to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And taking his place, Gretchen Powers, who is a very familiar name. Gretchen has joined us, actually, in the last month she's joined
us. That's true. She was here,
And, of course, over the years, many times, Gretchen has not only worked and been on that main stage many times, but she was one of the co-creators of Hopo Productions.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Po comes from.
And I do believe we're going to have to get her on Director's Cut, because I think that's too darn good of a story not to cover.
We got to get it all on there.
You take a step back, it is pretty cool what has happened for her and her family. And she's earned it. She deserves it. So congratulations to her. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure. For now, we're moving out of the way and letting Melissa do her thing with the news. We'll come back. We've got some Then to Write stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up for you on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you, letting some Foo Fighters play us in.
Big me.
Let's get into this one, everybody. This is an interesting one, mainly because it gives us a scientific reason to blame our parents.
Always use more of those.
I have to do this really quick because I know that actually, let me look at the. Yeah. I believe that she is listening right now. My mom is having a hip surgery today, and she is on her way to do that right now. Sending strong positive thoughts to the strongest human being I have ever known. Mm-hmm. You got this. You got this.
You got this, Mom.
Our bad hair days. Now I'm gonna rag about her and blame her for things. are bad hair days a regular thing for you? If so, blame your parents. A new study found much of it comes down to your genetics and the hair pattern that got passed down.
Oh wow!
That circular pattern of hair at the crown of your head is called your hair whorl.
Hair whorl, okay.
W-H-O-R-L. It's like whirl, W-H-I-R-L, but with an O.
Yeah, okay.
Just like fingerprints, your hair whorl is unique. Like which hairs point in what direction and whether it goes clockwise or counterclockwise.
How about that?
Until now, most experts thought your hair whorl was determined by a single gene. But the study found it's actually controlled by multiple genes all working together.
How about that? Cool.
In other words, your crazy, untamable, cowlick-filled hair was a group effort. You can't blame
mom and dad.
Yeah, you can't blame your mom. You can blame your mom and dad for your bad hair days because it's both of their faults.
Yeah.
This old wise tale that you could look at your mom's dad and figure out how your hair was going to be.
Yep.
Never made sense to me. My grandfather, who I miss every day and I love very much, him and I could not have farther apart hair. Like, could not be farther apart.
Yeah.
And this has another side of it, too, because I think for a lot of us, we're doing this right now, whether in a joking sense or in a very real sense. I think about my mother and father and like, oh, I got some meat. I got some meat on the bone of things that I can rip on them a little bit later for and everything. And then I have this self-realization of, well, wait a minute. I have three kids. I have three kids that all have great hair, but I am sure that hair like is not the finished product. Like I'm sure that they growing up, they had a point in time or another where they were cursing their hair. And my goodness, am I a big part of that problem?
Oh, I'm sure.
I didn't think about the reverse of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think about if I'm going to rip on my parents, they can rip on me.
Melissa's the only one that's safe at this point from that. Yeah, so she is safe about having. Yes, because we Beth and I do that with our boys. It's like, whose hair do they have? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, guess what? It's a mix of both. So, just like everything else, that's genetics with kids. Yep. It's a mix.
I'm not going to get blamed.
Yeah, no.
That's the whole reason I didn't have kids. Right. Don't want to get blamed for their hair issues.
Or anything else for that matter, you know?
If it generally was the reason, I'd be kind of like, that's not such a bad one. I mean,
it's terrible.
Can we, 424-2600, we'll talk about, take this in any direction you want, y'all, but I if you don't mind, I would like to focus on the hair whirl. And this this fingerprint on our the top of our skulls that exists that is our hairline and our hair attitude, our hair way. Hair is such
our hair way.
It really is. It's such a huge part of our personalities. And so much to the point of even being bald can be a big part of your personality.
Mm-hmm. It's
can
true.
Be a big part of your character and that and everything.
It is. Yeah.
We've just found this out. I find that very wild. Like, especially, you think about this. We have found hair care products forever. Right? Grow your hair back. Get rid of your hair. Straighten your hair. All these different things that we've got science upon science upon science for and gotten pretty good at it to the point where we're no longer having to put, like, you know, burn your scalp to do certain things. Like, now you can do those certain things and it doesn't destroy your scalp, maybe.
Right, right.
We did all this without knowing about this part.
Which is remarkable.
How did we lose? How did we get to all this and miss this? You know, sitting right in front of us here. And where are we going to go with these things going forward now that we know the information?
Yeah. Misplaced priorities, mostly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Well, and I think about that because now that spot in my head is very not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Because my whirl is kind of bare at this point. Mm-hmm. Although it's kind of funny because it's not like a circle. circle.
No, no.
It's actually shaped like a heart. The top of my head has a spot that's shaped like a heart.
Really?
Yes, it is. So, I mean, a lot of people don't know that because I'm taller than most people, so they can't look at the top of my head. But when I'm sitting down, my wife likes to come over and look at my heart on the top of my head. Oh. So,
I feel very embarrassed for noticing this during Baskerville, standing behind you. Yeah. I'm turning red right now because I
heart-shaped ball
spot.
So there
is something sweet about you, Seth.
It's all
just on the top of your head.
That's the only place where it is. Yeah, that's it.
For what it's worth, if to everybody out there, like my hair is all I've got. Like that's it. Once that goes, like yeah, that's it. And I've got one of those because of being handed around when I was first born. Like the EMT and police officer wants to hold me. All
yeah,
that.
Right.
I've got a little bit of a dent in the back, right where that the hair whirl it would be.
Yeah,
I've got a little bit of a dent. So I wonder if it messes with that or not, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure. I wonder if it does. Sure. The shape of the skull has something to do with that.
If it fidgets with it a little bit, I think that makes this even more interesting. It doesn't. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. But I'm a little curious to know. We're just scratching the surface of this one. So
yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this goes and how much more we learn about. I mean, we cured baldness before we cured cancer. So we've already paid quite a bit
priorities.
Of attention to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really feel like, let it go.
I'd like
to cure some, just one of the cancers,
Yeah, exactly. The interesting thing about this is the genetics. As we learn more about how people pass genes on, that's fascinating.
That can
be important.
Yes.
But the whole, the hair stuff, I mean, that's pretty, secondary.
It is interesting, though.
Of course it is. Yeah. You got it, man. Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with some local good stories of the day.
Get my comb out here now. I feel so
I'm so sorry. And get some local good stories and some That Ain't Right stuff coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. Couple of criminals. Or at least like the song.
Not actual convicted criminals.
Yes, not
yeah.
actual, but they do like the song name.
Yeah.
I got a bad man over here that we're going to start off with our That Ain't Right story.
Oh, an actual criminal. Okay.
An actual criminal is where we're going first. And at least my journalistic integrity ever be challenged that all we do is Florida men or something like that. Oh, we don't pick on Midwesterners enough, or specifically my home state of Illinois, because that is where we're going with this story.
All right.
Here is a textbook example of adding insult to injury. A 37-year-old Illinois man named Brian, that's all I'm giving you. Because he doesn't deserve 5 seconds of fame. Brian got arrested for drunk driving near Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri on Friday after accidentally running himself over.
What?
Oops.
What? Whoa.
He unwisely decided to drive drunk, which anybody that does that is a fool.
Right.
Literally. A 34-year-old named Ashley Baker was with him and had also been drinking. Oh, we assume they're married or related in some way. He stepped out of his truck around 1:15 a.m., but apparently didn't put it in park first. Ashley hopped in the driver's seat, but couldn't stop the truck before it rolled over him.
Ooh.
I shouldn't laugh.
I'm getting a mental picture, though.
He was seriously injured but survived. He was apparently in good enough shape to be arrested an hour later for driving while intoxicated.
Should have stayed under the truck, dude.
And the kicker is Ashley also got arrested for drunk driving. We know the details, except it was 2 hours after the incident. So maybe she drove drunk later that night, or
right.
maybe it was for hopping in the driver's seat. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
What a mess. I would love to see this guy in prison having to describe this story to his fellow inmates. How that goes over. How'd you hurt your foot? I don't want to talk about it. I really don't want to talk about it. You're in the drunk tank, but you're sober. Yeah. Sobered up real quick, man. Real quick. That ain't right.
Oh, I'm telling
you. That ain't right. We need a palate cleanser.
Yikes.
And we have had a palate cleanser all summer long in our Wisconsin Rapids rafters.
Mm-hmm.
As we get to our local good stories of the day, that is where we need to start. A feel-good win for the rafters to wrap up the 23 campaign. Did it go the way we wanted it to? No. Do sports usually end the way you want them to? Nine times out of ten, nope. No. They usually don't. So I think with that, as mature sports fans like we all are out there, let's appreciate our rafters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really good season. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of can, even to me. I tend to get a little passionate, a little personal as a homer about these teams. And it was nice, Seth and I are starting off this morning. Seth, I think you know that was the first thing you said about the Raptors season, that it was a good season. That
it had a good season.
Brandon Bobo broke an all-time record this season.
Yeah, that was very cool to be part of, yeah.
You look at last year into this year, boy, we've been pretty spoiled in this area.
Last couple of seasons, you better believe it.
And you don't have to look very hard in the Northwoods League to see teams that haven't had good years for a long time.
It's true.
Like we teams that haven't even been competitive like a week into the season, and they already know there's nothing. There's got. We've been really spoiled in this area when it comes to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives us an opportunity to encourage you to go to northwoodsleague.com, bookmark that. Rafters have other things go on throughout the season,
mm-hmm.
so pay attention to the ballpark, pay attention to Witherfield, and get ready for 2024. It is going to be a banger year. It is
already
going to be a great year, everybody. Thank you to all these players for coming to our town and hanging out with us. We greatly appreciate them. To the broadcasters, Joey and Kevin, nice work. I'm going to be following your careers as you go on. These host families, thank you so much for doing the great
work
you do.
Yeah.
Really greatly appreciate you, everybody. Thank you so much for all of that. And thank you again to the Rafters. We appreciate you.
That's right.
Great season, Rafters. Great season. I did want to mention this as well. The Wisconsin Rapids School District is excited to announce that the Outdoor Play, Learning, and Activity Center, the OPLAC, at Woodside Elementary School, is on track to be completed by the beginning of this school year.
All right. Woo!
They're celebrating with a grand opening planned for Wednesday, August 30th at 2:30, located at 611 2 Mile Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. We will talk more about this when we get closer to it, but very exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
Have that back.
Another outdoor learning center, and all the elementary schools are getting those, which are very cool.
Yes.
And of course, the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge is going strong. We want people in on this. We're calling all heroes. We know there's a shortage. We need you to help out, everybody. What we need you to do is take a selfie when you are going to donate blood.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, post it on your social media with the hashtag #CivicPints, and you do that. Not only will you be a superhero, but you'll get a chance to win some Civic Media stuff like Brewer tickets or Civic Media gear.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an opportunity locally coming up, Seth.
We do. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, from 10 to 3 at the former East Junior High School, room 111 at 311 Lincoln Street. They ask that you do enter off of Lincoln Street. This is put on by our good friends at the Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin, who is, by the way, the primary supplier of blood to Aspirus Riverview Hospital. They do encourage appointments. Call 866-566-5900 to schedule those. Also, you can walk in if you don't get a chance to do the appointment. So they have it tomorrow they will be doing it. And then again, just to keep in mind that on Monday, August 28th, they'll be doing it again, same place, from 2 to 7 p.m. as well.
In the afternoon.
Yep, couple of opportunities coming up for giving blood.
And want to also remind you that the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center has opportunities as well. They've got one going on today from noon to 6:15 at Stevens Point Blood Donation Center at 3201 C Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Get in on this, everybody. Do be a superhero, donate blood, and then get in on that with the Civic Pints, this hashtag Civic Pints. You can go to civicmedia.us/giveblood to find out more information. Also wanted to mention that the summer meal programs are still going on for kids in need.
Mm-hmm.
Free meals are available to all children 18 years of age and under. We have lunches available now until August 18th, 11:30 to 12:30 at Mead Park near the Splash Pad, and 11:30 to 12:30 over at Witter Park Shelter outside of the Aquatic Center.
Nice.
For more information, contact them at schoolnutrition@wrps.net, schoolnutrition@wrps.net.
Cool.
And also get this in, managing caregiver stress. Providing care for a loved one can be rewarding, but caregivers can also experience stress, guilt, and frustration. Just join us for a one-hour session tomorrow. Registration is required, though. You can register by calling 888-486-9545. That's 486-9545. Or go to adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. In Antigo, Marshfield, and Wausau, this will take place at the ADRCW offices from 10 to 11. And in Maryland, Wisconsin Rapids, it will take place at their offices from 2 to 3. If you know a caregiver, please spread the word about this, because if you know anything about caregivers, they probably don't even hear this stuff.
No,
they're a little busy.
They don't know.
They're busy
taking
care of people and everything. Please, 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 people. This is one of those parts of our society we do not pay enough attention to. We need to care for caregivers.
That's right.
So do spread the word about this and make sure that they know about these options and these programs are available.
Yes, indeed.
And let's get to some world good stories a little bit here, huh? I got some ones here. A video went viral last year when a Burger King worker got a lame gift bag after working 27 years without missing a day.
Jeez.
You guys remember that one?
I do, yes.
The story blew up after someone launched a GoFundMe campaign to start a retirement fund for him. Now he's back in the news after the New York Post did an update. The fundraiser is still going and recently crossed over $400,000.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Good for him.
Take note, Burger King.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Jeez.
A guy in Maryland hit the lottery for $50,000 this month using the same numbers he always plays, 42525, because they're the numbers on his mom's license plate.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. Do you owe mom a little bit for that? Or do you owe mom just because she's your mom? And you're.
I think you get it on both fronts.
I think he sounds like a guy. He's gonna share. Like.
Yeah. An artist in Toronto was riding his bike this month when his sketchbook fell out of his basket and didn't realize it. It had a decade's worth of art in it.
Oh, no.
So he was devastated. So he put up flyers everywhere, and no one turned it in. But then someone posted about it on a neighborhood Facebook page, and the guy who found it got in touch.
Oh,
nice. He refused to accept any reward and told him, "My reward is your happiness."
Oh, wow. Mm. How cool is that?
People helping people.
Yeah.
And one more good story for you here. A woman in Texas named Elizabeth Francis turned 114 years old last week, and she's still going strong.
Wow.
She was given an award for living so long. Here is 114-year-old Elizabeth Francis, along with researcher Ben Myers, awarding her with a plaque for her major accomplishment and her granddaughter.
Oh, I'm very, very young. Look at me. I'm like a young chicken.
She is the oldest in Texas, the oldest living person in Texas, number 2 in the United States, number 7 in the world, and number 2 in the world who lives at home. You live in your castle.
Whenever you went to her house, I don't care what day of the week, she was cooking. So I just think that had a lot to do with it, too, just how she, you know, took care of her body.
I think there's a wonderful point in there right there.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of people like this in my life that have lived long lives. One of the common themes, they love cooking for people. They love taking care of people. I think there's something to that. I really do.
Well, I love the way what she said at the beginning. It's like, I'm young. What are you talking about? Yeah. I love that attitude. That is
awesome.
So cool.
That's awesome. That's my new favorite person. That is just an awesome story. Awesome story from all of you. Thank you for a great show, everybody.
Yeah. You too, man.
You guys have a great day. You have a good one out there. We'll meet you back here tomorrow for more morning shows on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.